This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.
Hi, and welcome to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell, and I'm so happy to be here with you today. I have a very special guest. Her name is Maureen Burford. She's going to be talking about how Ellen Tatch's Framework for Wise Education approach supports children and teens. Executive Director and Framework Facilitator Maureen Burford is a veteran teacher with 38 years of experience in the field. With support and training from her longtime teacher, Ellen Tatch, she has brought the framework approach to more than 3,200 youths and adults locally and nationally in the classroom and out of classroom settings. Welcome to the show, Maureen. How are you doing today?
Well, thank you, Mari. I'm glad to be here. I'm doing really well. It's nice to be with you.
Great. So tell us a little bit about how it came to do what you're currently doing.
You know, it's such an interesting thing how our lives unfold, isn't it? Because it was right after I was divorced in 1997 that I was really looking for some guidance in better understanding myself, being, you know, helping my daughter through the change. She was little at the time, 6 years old or so. I was also a teacher and I wanted to improve my teaching. I was always thinking, how can I better serve my students? And right at that point, I found my way into a meditation and philosophy class with Ellen Tad in Amherst, Massachusetts. And that first night with Ellen, I was hooked. I thought, wow, this is the teacher I've been looking for. And she's going to help me understand the missing pieces in my education. So then fast forward in time to around 2011, and I was thinking about how things are becoming more urgent for children and families and schools. How can I help? And I began Creative Lives, and I went to Ellen for help. I didn't feel like I had an approach that was going to go as far as I thought was needed. And I went to her and asked for her guidance. And she came back with the suggestion that the chakra system and her understanding and discoveries about it would make an amazing approach to teaching and parenting.
Wow. So tell us a little bit about what is the framework for wise education?
So her framework for wise education takes Ellen's unique understandings of the chakra system and its fundamental role in human development. And it then orients or reorients, really, teaching and parenting to support well-function across the chakra system, which then helps every individual actualize their potential, find well-being, and learn. And so the framework is based on the function of the seven chakras. And it puts it into really practical and tangible strategies and tools that we can work with one student or with groups in any setting.
Wow. So tell us a little bit more about the chakra system and why is Ellen Tad's discovery about it so unique? And you talked about it being practical. So give us an example.
Yeah. So I'll tell you a little bit about her discoveries about the system, and then I'll share a story that illustrates how practical it can be in the hands of a teacher or parent. So Ellen has never read another book on the chakras. Her understanding came from her direct observation, which I really appreciate because it's not an intellectual understanding. It's really an experiential understanding, and her concepts are simple, but they're profound. So the chakra system is located in our energy body or our etheric body, as it's sometimes called, and it's actually blended with the physical body, and there are seven main centers. And in Ellen's system, we look at them from the top of the head going down, and each one of those seven centers represents an aspect or a quality of our essential nature. So in practical terms, what's really powerful is that when these centers are functioning well, we're actualizing our best and our depth. And as you would say, our deepest or most authentic self can come to the fore. So I have so many different examples, but maybe one that's really practical for listeners is one that occurred in a school-based setting. And a little girl who had been on medication, ADHD, because she had poor focus in school, and she'd been on meds for since kindergarten. And when I met her, she was in fourth grade.
Wow.
And in our program, I didn't even know she was on meds when I first met her, but she was taking circus class, and she was learning to develop focus through putting her focus where the third eye chakra is located, in the middle of her forehead. So her teacher was having her tap that point and say, "That's your wise view." We'll call her Callie. "That's your wise view. Put your focus there, and then you'll be able to walk the balance beam or juggle and do all these different." And she loved that class. Mm-hmm. But then the meds weren't working very well. And mm-hmm. her doctor took her off the meds, and she came to our after-school program really quite devastated at the end of a very hard day. It's hard to transition off of medication. And she was disoriented and very emotional. And when it was time for her to do her homework, she melted down. And for a few days in a row, we sought for some solutions to help her. It was on the fourth day when I caught a view of the balance beam that she used in circus class. And I stopped, I asked her to stop crying and come help me move the balance beam because we really needed it. And she got up, and I had her walk back and forth on the balance beam, reminding mm-hmm. her that when she was in circus, she could focus and she could learn. And she felt curious to ask questions and confident in herself. And so I wanted her to walk on the balance beam until she got back in that state, and then hold her focus in the middle of her forehead, which is where the third eye chakra is located, and that's the center that deals mm-hmm. with focus and concentration. So she was able to keep her focus there and go back to her math homework, which at the time she'd crumpled up and thrown on the floor, unfolded the math, and held her focus and worked on her math. And then I said, "You know, Callie, anytime you get frustrated with math, get back on the balance beam." So basically, for 3 weeks in a row, she did that all on her own.
Wow.
She walked, she went on the balance beam to find that focus again, and then she went back to her homework and learned how to hold it in an area where it was more challenging for her.
Mm-hmm.
And her confidence bloomed, her calm grew. She was, she was the happy girl that she was here to be. And wow. And the fourth week, I remember, Murray, coming and seeing her just peacefully doing her homework. She was still off her meds for focus and for ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Callie, do you want me to go get that balance beam?" And she said, "Oh, no, Miss B. I don't need it anymore. Now I just imagine I'm doing it."
Mm-hmm.
So that story was so practical. The intervention, once I saw what to do, the intervention was quite simple. But the result was so impactful for her and for me, because I mm-hmm. learned from her, wow, children can take these tools and they can use them quickly. And boy, do we want to reach children when they're young, before they have habits that block their chakras and their potential that, mm-hmm. That last into adulthood.
Yes, absolutely. And that's amazing that with no encouragement or teaching from you, she took that physical beam and then she made
yeah.
it, she internalized it and made it, an imaginary beam, but it was just as powerful. And
yeah.
she did it on her own. You didn't even say, "Oh, now you don't need the beam." She figured it out for herself. I think that's absolutely awesome. What an awesome story.
I do too. I love that story too. And I do love that. She figured that out on her own. And you know what the thing is? We all have innate wisdom, whether we have a lot of schooling or less schooling. When
mm-hmm.
when we're focused in the third eye chakra, which is the center of wisdom, we all have insight. However, all the seven centers really work together, and so not to over-focus on the third eye, because confidence grew in her throat through learning a skill that helped her feel good about being mm-hmm. herself,
right?
Which was studying her homework. And that calmed her solar plexus area, which is the center where you know, when you're feeling upset or in reaction or when it can become dominant and mm-hmm. and when students are focused in their solar plexus, it's much harder for them to make good decisions. So every yeah. one of the seven centers has an emphasis mm-hmm. and a role, and they work together as a system.
That's fantastic. So let's talk about, we talked about this before when we first talked. What is the role of the chakra system in fostering self-esteem? Because that's so important. It always has been, but I think even more so these days.
You know, I agree with you. And I think part of your show is about fostering self-esteem, right? Helping us feel comfortable
yep.
and valuable in our deepest self. And so it's interesting to think of the role of the chakra system in self-esteem, because it's like, oh, a healthy tree in an ecosystem, right? We can't really, there are centers that particularly deal with self-esteem, and they're part of this ecosystem with the other chakras that also affect. So there are two in particular, the throat chakra, which I'm sure you can relate to, because you know when you're feeling shy or held back or not good about yourself, your throat can get tight.
Mm-hmm.
And we can see adults and children who aren't feeling so good about themselves, and that chakra can become dominant in some cases where people are trying to prove their value or establish their value over others.
Mm-hmm.
And it can also become diminished where people or children feel held back and won't speak up
right.
because they don't feel good enough. So fostering self-esteem is key to having a healthy throat chakra. And Ellen has discovered that the biggest confusion around this center, the throat chakra, is confusing our behavior with who we are. So you mentioned a story when we spoke before about, well, I think you'd seen something on TV, Mari. Can you remind me of that story?
Yes.
About a little girl. Yeah.
He wasn't very old. He was actually still in preschool, but he was like running
yeah.
around, not listening. And at night, the mother lays in bed with him, and it'd been a really rough day. And he said, "Mom, I'm sorry that I am such a bad boy." And she says to him, she was like taken. You could see her face. She's like, "Oh, honey, you're not a bad boy. You just made bad decisions today."
Exactly. So
yeah.
this beautiful example is differentiating behavior, which can change and is evolving as children grow. They're learning more about what's appropriate in taking mm-hmm. care of themselves and their things and relating to other people and learning. And yet always we want to be acknowledging that every child and every person is innately
mm-hmm.
valuable. And our value is not it doesn't depend on our behavior or, you know, how we look or how much money we have. We're valuable because we are. And that attitude shift is tremendously supportive to the throat chakra, to self-esteem. It's not prevalent in our culture, so fostering it is a bit countercultural, unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately it's right.
And there are, you know, really practical things that, of course, help the throat chakra to develop, which is giving children space to speak their ideas,
mm-hmm.
to discover their preferences and express those things. And that links down to the other center in the chakra system that has to do with self-esteem, which is, Ellen refers to it, as the identity center. It's often referred to as the sacral chakra in the lower abdomen.
Mm-hmm.
In the female body, it would be kind of where the ovaries are. There's a receptive side to the chakra and a directive side. And so when children are learning to state their preferences, oh, I want to wear that outfit, or,
mm-hmm.
oh, I want to study about ancient Greece, or I want to learn about motorcycles, whatever it is, that identity chakra is manifesting some confidence in being themselves in the world. So
yes.
the throat chakra deals with our inner esteem, our feeling about who we are on the inside, and
mm-hmm.
the identity chakra is how we feel about expressing our creativity and relating, and making decisions in our daily lives and working together, those strengthening those two centers and fostering good function in them is critical to sustaining a sense of self-esteem.
Yeah. I love that part about allowing children to express their ideas and their preferences. I was not allowed to do that in my generation. Very few children were. Your parents made rules, you followed the rules, you did as you were said in school, the same thing. There was no preference and there was no expressing ideas until you were much older. But I see in my, well, I allowed my children to do these two things. And then I see in my grandchildren, what a difference that makes, how self-confident, like you said, how self-confident the kids are. And that's fantastic. Very nice. So we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. And if you want to call in and ask Maureen a question, the lines are open. You can call 929-477-3869. That's 929-477-3869. You can start calling now, and we'll be right back.
Award-winning author Katherine Ramsberger draws on her 25 years as a humanitarian journalist in a timeless love story that spans cultures and speaks to the soul. When a UN worker's desire to make a difference brings unbearable choices, will she stand true to herself? Find out in 1,000 Flying Things, launching this June, which early reviewers call empowering, healing, and riveting. Discover more at KatherineBrownRamsberger.com and sign up to receive a free East Meets South e-cookbook.
Do you ever wonder how other people become toxic? Do you suspect you might be toxic yourself? How do you begin to heal and move on from the collateral damage of your toxic mother? Get your life back. Love others boldly. Order Guy R. Curie's easy-to-read book, Toxic Mothers, A Son's Guide to Healing and Moving On from Amazon, and subscribe to his website, www.guyrcurie.com. Toxic Mothers, A Son's Guide to Healing and Moving On.
We're back on Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Maureen Mitchell, with special guest Maureen Burford, talking about how Ellen Tad's Framework for Wise Education approach supports children and teens. So Maureen, let's talk a little bit about how self-esteem relates to authenticity.
Yeah, it's a great question. And as we were on the break, I was thinking, you know, what are some of the things that happen in our culture that damage self-esteem and that happen in schools? Too often as children progress through school, their self-esteem falters, and you named some things that happened to you in childhood. So I think of authenticity as expressing the deepest part of who we are, which is the most fulfilling and beautiful way to be. And if we are, sending the message to children that somehow they are not good enough, or their choices are not the choices we want them to make, or that they need to be progressing through school at a certain pace and time in order to be valuable, and competition that's in schools can really impact that. And then the authentic self wants to go a little bit more into hiding, or wants to pretend it's something it's not. And in either case, it's not as fulfilling for the child. It's not optimal for their learning and development. So I'm curious about how you think of authenticity, because I think we have a very close alignment with that.
Yes, we absolutely do. To me, authenticity is being who you really are. And when you were saying trying to pretend that you're somebody else, so because I was not really allowed to have too many opinions as a child, and you know, then you can't even begin to form yourself fully because that's squashed, you know. So between my parents and religion and all kinds of things that told me who I was and how to think, that kind of stifled that. As a teenager, of course, that's what teenagers do. You begin to break out and find out who you are, and that's what I began to do. But then as I became an adult, got married, had children, I kind of got into roles, you know, wife, mother, Sunday school teacher, PTA member. And again, myself was kind of squashed because I was too busy doing and proving, you know, I'm a good mother, I'm a good wife, I'm a good Christian, all those kind of things, right? So, and that's where authenticity became so important to me, because I had to get back to the core of me. Yeah.
Yes, right. And that's what we want for teenagers, because they have this kind of explosion of development in the early teen years, which can be really disorienting. I remember that as a very challenging time. And so many parents and teachers that I know are finding more and more teens in distress. Mm-hmm. And why is this? And how can we turn this around? It's urgent. Because we know that they are going to be moving out into a world as adults that needs a lot of care, where there's a lot of challenge. So helping them feel valued in their authentic self, and part of that, Maury, don't you think, is being able to receive helpful criticism. We're so criticism phobic. We're so afraid that if we make a mistake, it means we're bad. So we don't talk about mistakes, and we don't learn from them. But with a healthy functioning chakra system and supporting that healthy throat, children get curious to be correct. They want to know, what am I doing? How can I do this better? And if we're fostering their genuine passion for what they're here to learn, then we're really being detectives, right? Our role as teachers and as parents is to say, what is this child passionate to do? What are their particular attributes that we want to help them develop? How can we help that innermost self and their preferences be aligned and then move out into the world? And what a joy that is, right, to approach teaching or parenting from that perspective.
It certainly is, because now you're fully supporting who that child was born to be, or at least who they were, because we can change, you know, as we grow older and have different career paths. But when we're supporting who they really are, what a difference that makes. Yeah, it's amazing.
That's right. Because no matter what their career path evolves to, I can tell you, I would never have thought as a child that this is what I was going to be doing as an adult. I couldn't have imagined it. But Ellen was so tremendously helpful to me when I first met her and studied with her in the late 90s in tapping into that authentic self. And really, it was the motivation to form Creative Lives in the end, was to bring her beautiful framework to as many people as we can share it with, for that reason, because there's nothing more satisfying or fulfilling. And from our authenticity, from our deepest self, we aren't competitive. We're cooperative.
Yes, that is so true.
We want to help each other, right? Mm-hmm. And third graders that I've worked with, kindergartners, for at any age and stage of development, we can be doing things that strengthen these centers and help children focus, feel self-esteem, be really caring of themselves and each other, really wanting the best. The solar plexus deals with harmony and emotional equilibrium. The heart is that center of wanting the best for others. The identity chakra is the give and take, the back and forth of relating, giving and receiving, leading and following. Beautiful balance. And the base chakra, which develops very slowly because children don't get born with the base. We do everything for them. But over time, we develop these deep roots in the base that are really skills in a wide array of areas, right? And those skills give us confidence. So it all works together, the crown chakra opening up to feel positive and enthused and inspired to be on a life's journey, the third eye, focus and guidance, discernment, the ability to perceive the consequences of our decisions, the throat, a healthy sense of who I am on the inside is valuable and good. Radiating love and care from the heart, emotional calm and depth in the solar plexus. You put it all together, and it's what we want for children and for ourselves.
Yes, absolutely. That was so beautiful. I love the way you explained all those. So let's talk for a moment about how to get a hold of you and about your Creative Lives website and what you have to offer there.
Sure. And you can feel from my conversation with you that I'm very passionate about what we're doing at Creative Lives with my colleagues and Ellen's great support, we've created a multi-level training program so that parents and educators and really anyone involved with supporting young people can take a course. And we have our Beginning Foundations 1 course. Actually, we have a course starting this weekend, and there's still space if anyone's interested. Our website is where you can learn more, and it is www.creativelives.org. And there you can get an introduction to the system, look at the 7 framework categories, and visit our programs, which begin with introductory workshops or a talk like we're having. But then the basic foundations training, Foundations 1, is 9 weeks long, and it's a fabulous course. It gives you a chance to explore every chakra for yourself first, and then imagine and work on things that strengthen your own system, and then begin to practice with children, whether they're your own children or your students.
Very good. Fabulous. Very good. So, as Maureen said, her website is creativelives.org, and you can link right from here to talk to it. Very good. So, we only have about 3.5 minutes, Maureen. Is there one last thing you'd like to say to a listener? Something deeply on your heart today?
Well, you know, I want to maybe share the words of one of my students, a recent graduate from our Foundations 2 training, which is our second basic training, who said that this course had really transformed her life. And it had helped her to better understand herself, to heal from her own wounds as she grew. And in that change, she was showing up with her students in a deeper way, listening more thoughtfully, able to help guide them more clearly and distinctly. So what I really want to communicate is that what Ellen's framework offers us is the details that we've been looking for, the specifics that help us help kids thrive. And I think it's urgent that we do, because our times are challenging and we want to help them be able to navigate from their depth.
Yeah, absolutely. As you were reading what your students said, listening to the children more thoughtfully, I mean, that is so necessary, but something, even when I was a mom, that you're so busy, you know, doing this, that, and the other, that sometimes you're not truly listening. But if we're listening, they're going to tell us what we need to know. You know, they're going to tell us what they need from us, or you know, et cetera, et cetera. So that really struck me.
Yeah, me too. And we'll keep learning right along with them, right? Because we're all learning. It's Earth School, after all. We're here to learn.
I love it. Well, Maureen, it has been such a pleasure having you on the show. Thank you so much for joining us today. Thanks so much for listening in. This is a live interview, but the replay of it will be available right after. So make sure you spread this to people that you know would really like this show. And thank you again for listening to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. Make sure you catch us next time. Bye for now.
This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.